This is part four of a four-part series of Shiurim on the Sefer that changed it all. Transformed Tshuva from dark to light, from sad to happy, from uncertain to confident, from a limited, particular experience which recovers from sin to a global, universal, cosmological, not just all human beings and not just our entire planet, but everything. Tshuva is an inner desire of all reality to return to its original pristine state in which it all came from Hashem, and that was a very different state. It was unified, it wasn't physical, it was eternal and infinite, and reality was created and continues to be sustained by Hashem, but wants to be closer to its original state. So it's always surging, it's always driving itself as an internal clock, an internal voice to get back to Hashem. Not moral, not spiritual, no chait and no nations. Return to that state. Human beings, through their sins, disassociate themselves with that sin. You can't see it anymore. They're not part of it. Through their tshuva, they become reintegrated. They feel more belonging with that reality. So tshuva is through kapara, through moral recovery, through confession, through vidui, realigning yourself with reality. Because of that, tshuva is transformed, as I mentioned, from sad to happy, from dark to light. For the fourth part of the series, and there's just so much to speak about, I wanted to talk a little bit about history, Jews, non-Jews. Because obviously once you stretch tshuva beyond human proportion, beyond the human sphere, so what role is there for Am Yisrael? Is Am Yisrael unique in tshuva? Tshuva is not just for Jews, it's for human beings. It's not just for human beings, it's for planets and mountains and cosmos and planets. And what is tshuva lie? What is the tshuva of non-Jews and the tshuva of Jews? Let's talk a little bit about the tshuva of non-Jews, because there are some very revolutionary ideas that he expresses, and we'll talk about a little bit how Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, drives this process. So, because it's so broad, so obviously, this is not just going to affect non-Jews, but it will affect non-Jews in historically conclusive, climactic fashion. The end of history will occur when all of reality sees this, when the entire world, all human beings who have choice, when they see what Rav Kook is describing, all of reality stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all reality wants to return to Hashem, that will be so overwhelming, so eye-popping, so revelatory, that it will lead to a complete change of heart, right? We say, you look at the world around us, no one's running to do tshuva. They're running to get their iPhones, and they're running to watch the game, and they're running for much worse. What will make people run while a shift in consciousness? What will make that shift in consciousness seeing reality like they've never seen it before? So let's follow Rav Kook, because these are some very powerful, redemptive visions. Perek Hey, Simen Zayin. Hatid, Yigale et ha-pliot, shel gvurat ha-tshuva. In the future, this force of tshuva will be revealed. This revelation will enchant the world. The level of human enchantment, when they see reality through these lenses, not just their own homes, their own work, and their own sports, and their own, when they see it all stemming from Hashem, and all surging back to Hashem, and there's one lane to reality, it will capture their imagination in ways that are infinitely more compelling and infinitely more captivating than whatever captivates people today. V'hitgalut chadashazu, timshoch et lev hakol bepliyato. It'll be so wondrous, so different, so mesmerizing, everyone will be caught up in it. V'az, yakum haolam l'tchiyato hamitit, when all human beings who have choice see it, become captivated by it, become aligned with Hashem, affect upper worlds through their alignment, then the world will reach its conclusion. V'yechta l'chait will be no sin. So this is Rav Kook's vision of Achrit HaYamim, of the end of days, and how tshuva doesn't have to be through some volcanic event, some apocalyptic war. Tshuva is just removing the veil that doesn't allow people to see reality the way he describes it, and it'll be so compelling and so persuasive to the human imagination, they'll be overwhelmed with interest and be ineluctably drawn in its wake. That's one slant that's a little bit different. How does the final tshuva occur? Now, another revolutionary idea which emerges from Avodat Tshuva, it's latent in many places. I just quoted one, I'll quote one section where it comes to the surface with greater clarity, is Rav Kook talked about the tshuva of all of reality, of the entire cosmos, not just of how many mitzvos and how many averos I perform, which has to, that's the starting point, that's the core, of course. I have to say this in every shir. Tshuva olamit is affected by tshuva pratit, so I have to go under my talis and have to say alchei, but he's giving heft and lift. It's not just my own tshuva is impacting realms and spheres far beyond me. So the world is in a constant search. Part of that search, at least in our world, is not just religious, ritualistic, arta or mitzvahs, but human progress. As human beings advance to a better state politically, democracy, not monarchy, a better state economically, free market economics rather than feudalism and starvation, a better state socially, civil societies that respect the dignity of man rather than brutal societies that suppress human freedom and decapitate man, education, as society evolves and progresses, that's part of the redemptive process. That idea has deeply impacted my imagination and my thought. For many religious people, what happens historically, beyond the walls of the Beis Medrash, is of little importance. It's of little importance whether the world is democratic or monarchical. It's of little importance whether people are starving. At a human level, it's important because we don't like to see people starving. But the progress that modernity brings is not baked into any larger religious equation. It's happening. It brings certain advantages, certain disadvantages, freedom of religion. But Rav Kook, in this sefer and so many other svarim, saw progress as part of the world surging to a better state of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and receiving more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma to help us understand our world. As he writes, I'll just pick the location in Avodat Tshuva, which is the most obvious. Perek Dalet, Simen Gimel. V'chein, kol otam tikunei atarbut, any cultural changes, sha'al yadam, through them ha'olam yotzei mechorbano, the world advances, sidrei ha'chayim chavratim, social advance, kalkalim, economic advance, ha'ochim u'mishtachlelim, which become improved, im tikunei kol chayit v'machmir, of course, alongside of, hopefully, spiritual change, kulam, all of it, historical progress, hopefully spiritual progress, osim chati v'achat, they're one element of reality. Human imagination, human experience, religious experience, Jewish experience, surging towards that unity with Hashem. Ve'enam minutakim zem, so you can't separate, they're inseparable. And he quotes Kabbalah, Zohar, V'kuru, L'chat Atar Slikin. They're all moving towards one endpoint, one integrated, unified reality. And, as a corollary, these things are just fascinating, some of these ideas. What is chutzpita de Mashiach? Well, it's a Kabbalistic concept. We sing about it as a Gemara, that somehow, towards the end of time, there'll be an insolence, a chutzpah, an audacity, a lack of accepting authority. Well, we've been living through that for the last 300-400 years. This chutzpita de Mashiach, secularization, rampant atheism, the collapse of classic organized religion. We're living in a world of moral torpor, moral decadence. So where does it come from? What's it a product of? Again, most religious people would say the decline of man, the deterioration of moral spirit, unfortunately living in a dark world. It's not done as, you know, the Eight Sahara is overcoming human beings. Not for Rav Kook. Because this world that we live in is also a world of science, progress, education, evolution. So how do you reconcile, on the one hand, the world is making such progress? On the other hand, spiritually and morally, there's an atheism, there's an insolence, there's a chuspita de Mashiach. So Rav Kook says, and it's such a profound idea, the world is starting to see the connection of all reality. We call that ability not to just look at independent experiences, not just to look at your own cave or your own society, but to think about human biology, how the body works, human psychology, how the psyche works, physics, chemistry, math, philosophy, all of that, we call it science. And when we study science through scientific tools, we take individual information, we say, oh, these are the laws of physics, these are the laws of biology. We're taking details and we're integrating them into concepts and doctrines. So the world is starting to see that reality is not just a random alignment or a random assortment of detailed experiences, random and capricious, but there are larger rules that govern. There's a greater integrity or greater integration. So they're starting to see how Rav Kook describes reality. They're seeing the connection, but they're seeing the connection without the connector. The connector is Ratzon Hashem. So Ratzon Hashem is not yet visible in this world. So they're looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. And that creates a repellent effect, an unease, a dissatisfaction, an intellectual and existential restlessness. The world is restless. The world is restless. They can't find Hashem. So on the one hand, the progress indicates and reflects seeing the world's unity, seeing reality's unity, seeing science, not just random events. But they don't see the connector. They see the connection. This is what causes the insolence of Mashiach. Perek Dalet. Simon, your revolutionary idea. A chutzpah de'ikvasa de Mashiach. The insolence, the rejection of the time we're living through. B'vnei she'olam hukshar kvar ad kidei l'tiboat havana. They become talented enough to demand answers and understand. Eich, here's the key line. Eich kol ha'pratim hei mekusharim imaklal. How all the details are really a product of rules and laws. If you live life as details, it's random. There's no order. There's no predictability. If every detail is a product of something larger, you can predict. I predict that if I go up in a space capsule, I can use the laws of physics and laws of gravity to determine how my body will respond. The in prat bilti mikushar im hagodol laklali. And there's no detail that isn't based on something larger. The im haya olam osek bi'arah shel Torah. Had they also been studying Torah, which is the connector, the will of Hashem, shetitgadel haneshama ruchani, then their internal soul, human beings, would expand. And then they know what is the connector, not just the connectedness. Then this process called history would end. Because of laziness, because of distraction, the light of Torah is not yet visible. That's what's creating this tension. Searching for something, science is uncovering this connection, but they don't know what the connector of that connection is. That's what's causing this insolent secularization. So all of a sudden, Orta Tshuva takes us to the, now I'm using the word international stage, not just for Jews. One day, the reality that Rav Kook describes, you know, everything is aligned with Hashem, and that's the only lane of reality will be revealed. Will captivate human imagination, will lead to mass tshuva, which is mass realignment with moral improvement. The evolutionary process, which isn't necessarily manifesting as religious, namely science, culture, politics, economic freedom, is part of that evolution. But we've advanced so much in science and culture, and we've discovered the integration, but we haven't, we have Baruch Hashem, but the world at large hasn't yet discovered the Ratzon of Hashem that is causing this fusion. And we don't see what's causing the fusion. There's a lot of restlessness and uncertainty. Okay, now, with all this globalization and cosmologization of tshuva, what's the role for the Jewish people? So, of course, there is one people, because of their spiritual endowment, because of their spiritual lenses, because of their spiritual imagination, is able to sense what Rav Kook is describing more than any other people. That's Knesset Yisrael. So we sense it. We'll be the first to discover it in mass as a nation, and will be the conduit through which this recognition and consciousness spreads to all of humanity. So in Parak, hey, Knesset Yisrael, b'hargashata ruchanit al defet, we have a surplus of spiritual sensitivity. Hi harishana bi'olam l'tshuva, they'll perform tshuva first. Hi achativa olamit, they're the global entity. Shesgulat ha'tshuva titkale batchila, hi nitchefet l'hiyot mut'emet, we're compelled, we yearn. Sounds like we have a choice. We want to be aligned with Hashem, so to speak, more than other people, other nations. We have this instinctive draw to be better aligned and better synchronized with Hashem. And therefore, this great light, Arot HaTshuva, will be revealed to our people first, as we believe, and we daven in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And then, will become the conduit. We will then enlighten or illuminate the entire world with the light of tshuva. And it's so natural and so instinctive to who it is as a Jew, to Jewish identity, that you can't become a full Jew unless you feel this urge to be close to Hashem. Yevshar, Perek Yud Gimel, Simon Aleph, Lihidavek Be'amet B'Yisod HaLamishal Yisrael. You can't become a member of the Jewish people and aligned with the Jewish people and incorporate the Jewish people unless Kva Yedei Tshuva Mechatat Adam, unless there's Tshuva. So there's a statement here about those who are better aligned and better aware of this are more Jewish, so to speak, because they're responding to something very deeply soulful about Jewish identity. But Memor for Rav Kook is not just a process that's charted with how many mitzvahs there are veros. There's a larger chart and a larger mapping to the process. So our national reawakening and in reconstituting our people and returning to Israel and establishing a government and creating Jewish pride, that's also part of the process, and it will naturally yield to tshuva. Because if tshuva is so central to Jewish identity, to national identity, well, then national identity has to ultimately express itself in tshuva, because tshuva is who we are as a people. So it's a bit of a, I don't want to say circular logic, but it's a cross-pollinating concept. Judaism, Jewish identity, is built on a greater awareness and a greater sensitivity to this alignment of tshuva with Hashem's will and with all of reality. But that also means that anything that creates deeper Jewish identity will one day, inevitably, manifest itself in tshuva, which is why he says in Parak Yud Zayin, Siman Aleph, Tchiyat HaUmah, national reconstitution, nationalism, Zionism. Ki HaYisod, it's the foundation, Shel Binyan HaTshuva. Tshuvat Yisrael HaLiyona, Tshuvat HaOlam, basically, returning to Eretz Yisrael, building a Jewish state, is the platform upon which all of the universe will one day be realigned with Hashem. Tchiyat HaUmah, reawakening, Perek Dalet, Simin Yud Aleph, Tchiyat HaUmah Ve'aretz, reawakening the people. Hasafa, Hebrew, Jewish language. Hasifrut, Jewish literature, Jewish culture. So now it's not just politics, do we have a people, do we have an army, but everything that yields Jewish identity, culture, literature, language. Hakol Mimakor HaTshuva Yotzei. So there's a Jew writing a novel in Tel Aviv. It may not be speaking about Talmud Torah, as long as it's a healthy novel speaking about values and ideas and it comes from a Jewish identity. That's coming from tshuva, and that's contributing to tshuva. U'mima'amakim el mirameh ha-tshuva ha-elyona yufo. And that awakening will ascend to the higher levels of tshuva. So, I want to return to the point of departure. In 1911, Rav Kook wrote that letter telling his Talmud, I don't have the time to write a rota tshuva. I wasn't there. I just saw a copy of the letter, obviously. I don't think he didn't have time to write the 40 or 50 pages of Erot HaTshuva. It's such a delicate calibration. It shouldn't replace classic tshuva. God forbid. Classic tshuva is ritual, moral, Ratzon Hashem in the limited sense. What are the Tariq mitzvos? What are Hashem's expectation of me? How can I look in the mirror and look at the monster looking back at me, improve myself? But it added another layer. It's like a building. Walk up one flight. To get to the second floor, you have to go through the first floor. But walk up a flight. Your tshuva is part of something much larger. Part of the cosmos. Part of reality. Part of all of humanity. Go through that first stage, but don't forget the second stage. And it was that delicate calibration that I believe, and just reading the letter, it sounds to me, Rav Kook was so sensitive to. I needed the time to get it right. Well, I hope I've gotten it right, or as right as I can, because it's a very, very dense and obtuse sefer. I think many people are intrigued by it, but you pick it up and you read it. You hit a brick wall after two or three paragraphs. The language is dense, very poetic, but it's based on Kabbalah, and it's in a completely different description, a completely different portrait of tshuva, but one which I think, as I said, elevates Gedolah tshuva to a different point. Should we, Amir Tashem, we should be Zachat to Tshuva Pratit and Tshuva Olamit, the second through the first. Thank you, Ellie.
Every
Ayin bet reshud.
Ayin.
Ayin. Ever hanar.
מפורשות כתבתי לענות בעברית. לא.
Immanuel, with an
I or a... Imai.
What?
Imai.
Immanuel. Immanuel.